Well, to all the moms, we say Happy Mother's Day. Maybe some of you moms can identify with that this morning and feel that you know exactly what that feels like. Sometimes you're thinking, I wish my kids didn't love me so much. Nah, isn't a mother a great thing? Isn't being a mom a great thing? I think what a blessed thing. And we do honor all of our moms today, and I especially want to honor not only my mom and mother-in-law today, but I definitely want to honor my wife. What a great mom she is. And honey, I love you today. And thank you for being a great mom all year long to our children. Oh, back to you. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I love you. Yeah, okay. Well, today we're going to take a time out. Everybody say time out. Time out. We've been doing a series here at Destiny Church called Snapshots of the Savior. And we're going to continue that series next week. But today we're going to take a time out, especially for our moms. And I want to talk to you today. Special message to our moms, but not only to our moms, but to everyone here today. I believe that we can all apply these principles to our life. And I want to talk to you today about raising a difference maker. Raising a difference maker. If I was to ask you this question today, all of us here, if I was to ask you the question, what's the one thing you want to do with your life? What's the one thing you want to do with your life? If I was to ask every one of us that on an individual basis, majority of us would say that, you know, when we leave this life, that we want to leave a legacy. We want to have made a difference in this world. We want to have made an impact, left our mark upon this world, and left a legacy. Well, today I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about moms and raising children, and I was thinking about Moses and how Moses was a man who was a difference maker, a man who followed after God's heart and delivered the children of Israel away from Pharaoh and the captives of being slaves, and led them into the promised land. And what a great thing he did. And he was a difference maker in his generation, so much today that we are still reaping the benefits of his faithfulness. We're still reading about his life. And today I was thinking about, behind every good man, there's what? A good woman. Not just a wife, but a good mom. A good mom. And there's some difference maker parents that have helped him. And as I look out in the audience today, I see a lot of parents here, and some who kids are grown and out of the house, and I see the great job you've done in raising your children, how they are making a difference in their jobs and their teaching career and their education and what they've done to go on to teach people and reach people, some in ministry, some involved in local church, some in full-time ministry, some missionaries, some even have, you know, the second and third generation. You have grandchildren who have gone on. You got children here in ministry and grandchildren who have gone to be ministries, into ministries. And I say, you know, you've got this down. Some of you know what I'm talking about today when it comes to raising up difference makers. And we can all learn from you, and we can learn from each other. Especially today, if we look at the Word of God, we can learn from Moses' mom on how to be a difference maker. Her name was Jochebed. What a great name for your mom, Jochebed. Jochebed. And Jochebed, she demonstrates in her life this absolute quality to raise Moses up to be a difference maker. But there's something unique about her life that we see here, that she made an impact in his life at a very early age. So I'm going to ask you today to open your Bibles up to Exodus chapter 2. For you guys here today, that's the second book in the Bible. That's an easy one to find, so you're in good luck today. That's an easy one. Exodus, second book in the Bible. Exodus chapter 2. I want to get a shot, kind of a snapshot, if we can say, today, of Moses' mom. And we find it here in Exodus chapter 2. And it says here, as we have it on the overhead also, it says, and the woman, she conceived, became pregnant, and she bore a son. Let's stop right there a second. So here is Moses' mom. She conceives, and she becomes pregnant, and she bears a son. And when she conceived in this particular era, you need to understand what was going on. Because when she got pregnant, unlike today, she didn't call up all of her friends and say, guess what? I'm pregnant. You know, she wouldn't email them back, forth pictures of the sonogram. She wouldn't say, yeah, in 2 months we're going to have a party and have a shower. And you're going to get all this nice stuff. You can go register at Target. And none of that was going on. Matter of fact, she was probably like, I'm pregnant. You say, Pastor, why would she say that? Why would she be like, ugh, I'm pregnant? Because during this time, we see that about 300 years earlier, where Joseph led the Israelites, and there was a deep famine in the land, so he led them into Egypt. And he was the prime minister of Egypt there, and they were finding a land of plenty where they could get some food and water and could live. And so, but the word of God is very clear that over a certain period of time, that there was a Pharaoh, a new ruler rose up in Egypt, and he didn't honor Joseph, and he didn't honor the Israelites and the covenant God had made with them. And he began to rule, and he made the Israelites a slave, and he made them work for them at a very low wage and very hard hours. And they become a slave, and they begin to build up his empire. And one day, this is the Pharaoh was looking out and thinking, you know what? I've taken over this empire. You know, this is great. I'm in control here. But he notices all these slaves doing all the work. And even though they're pretty busy, you know, working on the wall, they're also having plenty of time for themselves because they're having a baby boom, okay? They're having this baby population. And I can relate to that. They have a baby population there that's breaking out. And he looks and says, you know what? If I'm not careful here, all these babies are being born. They're going to rise up, and there's going to be a lot more of them than there is of us. And I can see it now. There's going to be this great overturn, and they're going to come against me, and they're going to rise up, and I'll be dethroned, and my kids will be dethroned, and Joseph's children will take over the land again. And he's thinking all these things out. So he orders all the midwives. He says, listen, if there's any baby born who's a male, I want you to take him down to the Nile River where the crocodiles are hanging out, and I want you to chunk that baby into the Nile River. I mean, what a cold-hearted. Now, listen, I've been upset at my kids a few times, okay? I never once thought about taking them, my kids or your kids, and throwing them into the Nile River. This guy was twisted. So he said, take these babies, boys, and throw them into the Nile River. And so they came back, and they're like, Pharaoh, man, this is not working. We can't even keep up. We can't do anything here. And they're just popping these babies out. And so he was very much under distress and saying, get rid of these babies no matter what the cost. And so you see the picture here as she was knowing that this is a baby boy. If I'm pregnant, it's a baby boy. This baby boy is going to lose his life. This baby boy, this time, is going to be thrown to the crocodiles. So you can imagine her wanting to be hush-hush about a pregnancy. You can imagine her not trying to get too excited because she doesn't know if it's a boy or it's a girl. So here she is. She's having this. Let's pick it back up here. It says, and the woman bore a son, and when she saw it, that he was beautiful. Isn't that a great phrase that the Bible has there? The woman bore a son, and when she saw the baby, he was beautiful. Moms, isn't that a great thing? Isn't it a great thing? I mean, I've never seen a mom who looks at her child and said, that's not a beautiful baby. Realize that your babies are, and your kids are a gift from God. Your kids are a great gift from God, and when you hold them in your arms and you look at them, know that they are beautiful. This is God's gift to you. Look at what it says here. It says, she saw that he was beautiful. Then look what the next line says. It says, she hid him for 3 months. She hid him for 3 months. And you think, all right, I've met some babies in my life. Now, moms, I know that you've never met a baby of your own that you thought wasn't that good looking. It wasn't a beautiful baby. But there's been a few babies in my life I've seen. I say, yeah, you know. That's really not a beautiful baby, you know. I hope they grow into it, you know. And usually they do. They kind of get a little weight and they get a little hair, you know. Even though they're cute in their own way, sometimes you're like, when this baby's about 3 months old, it's really going to be cute. And they kind of grow into it. But, you know, I was thinking, what would cause this mom, you know, to hide this baby for 3 months? That must have been one ugly baby that want to hide your baby for 3 months. That wasn't why she hid this baby. It wasn't because he was an ugly baby, because the crisis going on in the land, she knew that she had to hide this baby. She knew that she had to hide her baby because if he was found out he was a boy, that he'd be tossed into the Nile River and he'll be eaten by the crocodiles. And so she takes the mom and dad, they hide baby Moses away for 3 months. And finally, I can see her hiding him, and you know, hiding in the bushes, hiding in the house. And you know, babies cry, and you know, and babies have a tendency to cry even when you don't want them to cry. And I'm sure that the baby was quiet all day long, but as soon as the guard began to come around or people of influence come around who were looking for babies, that baby probably wanted to cry. Rah! You know, shh, shh. I can imagine them doing what, you know, I used to do sometimes when my babies cried and wouldn't stop crying. I'd sing a song. I'd sing, what did I sing? I can't hear you. You know, I can see her singing. I can see, you know, Moses' mom out in the field and the baby maybe hitting the bushes singing, oh, God, we praise you, Lord. You are an awesome God. And people are like, oh, she's so spiritual. No, she was trying to hide the crying baby. She was trying to keep her baby quiet and she could would raise her voice so no one would hear the cries maybe, or her baby laughing or giggling. Can you imagine what she went through? She had to hide her baby for 3 months. And so we know today that she had to hide him. Look what it says here. She decides, well, something has to be done. And she takes a step of faith, you know. Something's got to be done. Either I can't continue to do this. I can't hide this baby for the rest of his life. He's going to be found out eventually that I have a baby boy. And so she begins to have faith. It says she runs to the bank of the Nile River. They're grooming at the Nile River. She sees a papyrus reed tree. And papyrus reed is what they would take many times to make their baskets out of. They made furniture. They made their mattresses. They're all made out of this special plant. They would take it and they cut it up and it would dry out and form it how they wanted to, make it wet. And when it dried, it would harden into that shape they wanted to harden into. And so she took this plant and she made a basket for Moses, Word of God says. It says that she made an ark, little ark, small basket. And she puts in this and she covers it with tar and she does other things with this thing to make this thing ready to float. And she puts them in here. And she wraps Moses up in this basket and puts them in the baskets. And it says this, listen to what it says here. It says she prayed and trusted God. She also used her common sense, you know what I mean? She did this, you know what, I think I can do something here. This might work. And so she took her daughter Miriam here and she asked him, go hide down in the bushes and wait and see what happens. I'm going to put your brother in this river because Pharaoh's daughter is going to be coming here. She comes here every day, her and all of her servants, they come here and this is where they bathe, this is where they clean up. They do it every day at a certain time. So we're going to be hiding out here and we're going to be waiting. And as soon as they do, I want you to run and hide on the other side and I want you to see what happens. And so we see here in Scripture where Moses' mom puts them in the basket and she lays them and she puts them right out. She sees Pharaoh's daughter coming. She puts the baby in the basket and kind of scoots them out. Maybe it's a float toward her. And I can imagine her fear of, God, protect my baby. God, this better. I have faith that this is going to work. I have faith. You're leading me. And of course, Pharaoh's daughter sees and says, bring me that basket. And she brings that baby over there and she looks at it. Look what it says here. She has pity on baby Moses. It says when she looks at him, she says she has pity on baby Moses. How many of the women have pity on babies, don't they? Well, go, man, ask Lisa to hold that baby up. What'd you all do? Especially women. I mean, it's just, you can't help it. When you see a baby, you're like, it's just like, we don't know any other word, do we? You're like, It's like all the vocabulary leaves us. We can't think of anything. It's like, you know. It's either when you find your first love and babies, they all make you do the same thing. You know, you can't do anything. This is what she was doing. She looked at baby Moses, and she was like, pity this baby. Her heart melted for him. This is such an awesome thing because you see God's hand at work here. Look what happens on this next line. She says, this is a Hebrew baby. So she knows that this is a Hebrew baby. This is not one of her own. And she knows this baby, really, because he's a boy and he's a Hebrew, should be put to death. And she knows if her dad gets a hold of this, he's going to be thrown back into the Nile River without a basket. He'll become crocodile lunch meat. And so she takes pity on him and says, And about that time, I see right here, look what happens, what it says here. It says, Miriam jumped out. Did you find a Hebrew baby? I know, would you like me to go back to the Hebrew village and find a mother to nurse this baby for you? And she, look what she says here. She says, I can find a nurse to nurse your baby for you. And sure enough, Pharaoh's mother says, go ahead, go for it. And she goes back and she gets Moses' mom and brings her back. And Pharaoh's daughter says, listen, I found this Hebrew baby floating here. You take this baby and you nurse it for me. And I will pay you your wages. Now, first of all, let's just stop right there. So all the rest of the babies are being put to death who are boys. But because Moses' mom believes to have some faith that God can do the miraculous, not only is her boy being spared, but God gives back to her son. And not only does he give back her son back to her, but look what happens. And then Pharaoh's daughter said, listen, and I'm going to pay you. She was getting paid to take care of her own son. Now, we want to pay everybody else to take care of our kids. But see, when you're walking in the favor of God, when you're walking in the zone, when you're in the blessed place that God has for you, you begin to operate in faith, things begin to turn around. What seems like it's impossible becomes possible with God. And her son is not being put to death, but he's being spared. Not only is he being spared, he's being spared by Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter says, I'm going to pay you to nurse your own son. And you say, all right, how long did that last? 3, 4 months? No, when you go back and you study the original meaning of this word nurse and what it meant in those days, it meant for the first 5 years of his life. For the first 5 years, she was able to nurture him. You say, why is that important? Because today, even though they didn't know that back then, today doctors tell us, and psychologists tell us that 90% of our character traits and our personality traits are developed by the age of what? 3. So what an important time for her to be raising her child. What an important time for her to have. Maybe she wasn't going to raise him till he graduated. But she had the most delicate, the most important time of shaping Moses' life. And she was being paid to do it. And his life was being spared. I'm talking about living for God. When you live for God, things can change. And when you operate in faith, things can change for your life. She was raising a difference maker. And I want to give you 3 characteristics here we find. 3 things we can find in her life that we can apply to our own life that she did. These 3 absolutes that made a difference, that raised Moses to be a difference maker. Number 1, she modeled her faith. Moms, she modeled her faith. For the first 5 years of her life, she modeled faith with Moses. How many of you have ever been to a fashion show before? You ever been to a fashion show? You ever been to a fashion show? Some of you guys are like, I don't want to raise my hand. You know, it's some of you guys are kind of embarrassed. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? You've been to a fashion show. I've never been to a fashion show, but I've seen them, you know. And that's where they walk on the catwalk out, you know. You know. All that thing. I think it happens. They do this whole thing, and they give this look, you know. It just cracks me up. You know what I'm talking about? They just catwalk, okay. They take their jacket. They fit it on, you know, and they walk. The collar's up, and they get to the end of the walkway. And they give this look. All right, let's. It doesn't crack you up. Doesn't it crack you up when you look at that look? It's like, you know, I'm constipated. I mean, it's just, that's what I think about when I see these people in the walkway running. It's like they're constipated. I can't wait to get out of this tight clothes so I can go back and go to the bathroom because this is hurting. And that's what we want to be. I want to be a model. I remember back in the 80s, I used to have this jean jacket. How many of you remember the jean jackets, the acid wash jean jackets back in the 80s? And then, you know, we had all of our swatches on, about 4 on this arm, about 4 on this arm. And then my jean jacket, you had to have these little buttons, you know, all over them. I remember one of the buttons that was really popular back then says, yes, I'm a model. You know, these things are so popular. And from all the time, we've always promoted this model. How many moms today want to be a model? You're like, yeah. Do you realize today that every one of us today, whether you're a mom or a dad, we are a model. We are a model. We may not be modeling clothes by the rich designers and by fancy designers, by name brand clothes. May not be walking any catwalk, but we are designing lives and we are modeling to our children and to our family every day. Today, some of you say, I'm not Christy Brinkley. I'm not Cindy Crawford. But you know what? You are who God's made you to be. And you are modeling to your children the values, the character traits. You're modeling to them either the good or the bad. And I ask you, what are you modeling today? What robe are you putting on? Moses' mom decided she was going to model this robe of faith. She decided she was going to model this robe of faith. And she decided to put on this robe of faith and say, you know what? I'm going to model this thing of faith with Moses. She had faith that was just unprecedented. She had faith believing that God was going to take care of her. What kind of thing are you modeling today, moms? What kind of language are you modeling to your children? What kind of attitudes are you modeling to your children? What kind of love are you modeling to your spouse, to your children? What kind of conflict resolution are you modeling to your children? What are you modeling? Listen, moms, dads, we are all modeling every day. Moses' mom decided she was going to model faith before Moses. Because believe it or not, all of our all of our kids, they're like on the modeling stage, you know, people are taking models. What happens? People are in the audience. Fashion magazines are out there taking pictures, snapping left and right. Our kids are taking pictures of us. They're taking mental pictures of everything we do. And they're developing this photo album of everything we do, of how we handle situations, of how we handle conflict, how we handle things that are not going right in our life, how we handle when things are good and when things are bad, how we handle our faith, how do we handle our love for God, how do we handle our love for our family, how do we handle our job. We are modeling every day, and our kids are taking pictures. They're developing their own photo album of who we are. And it's in the home in those early years we first begin to develop that album. Let's pick it up here. It says, the Bible says she got a wicker basket and covered it with tar. Verse 3, look what it says here in verse 3. Then she put the child in it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile River. And verse 4 says this, and the sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Now, I read that for a second here. I want you to see this. Why is this important? Because it never once mentions who his mom's name was, never mentions who his sister's name was. Why is that important? How do we know what her name is? Because in Exodus 6, it goes back to the name who she was. But during the story, it doesn't name who she is. Why is this important? Because God's wanting to communicate something to us here, that it was not her at work. It was not a name or a person at work, but it was God at work here. That the miracle that was taking place was not because of a one person. It was because God was using her faith. And she was left nameless here, I believe, because God was wanting to prove a point that we, listen, that when God can do things in our life that nobody else needs to get credit for, that you have to worry about, you know what, if I do this and, you know, maybe I get credit for it here. No, listen, you got to believe God. You just got to believe God. And you got to model faith to your children, to your family, and allow God to do the impossible in your life. The names were not mentioned for a purpose, I believe, because he was wanting to show us it was God at work. How do I know that she modeled faith then? How do we know that she was a model of faith? Not only because of what she did, but we have the Hall of Fame we can look at. What do you mean the Hall of Fame? I mean the Hall of Fame of faith. It's listed here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. It says it like this. By faith. Everybody say by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's verdict. Listen, remember, moms, you're modeling. This may hurt you a little bit. This may step on your toes. That's okay. But whatever you model around the home, that's what our children will become. What you model around the home, that's what our children become. Dads, what we model around the home, that's what our children become. Look what it says. By faith, Moses' parents hid him away for 3 months. They had faith there, and she was modeling so much she was even mentioned here in the Hall of Fame, that her faith to do what God wanted her to do. And today, it's amazing as we look at this. I want to get to the second thing here. Before we do that, I want to ask you this question. Mothers, do you really concern yourself with your daily wardrobe? Mothers, do you really concern yourself with what you're wearing today? Do you really concern yourself with what you're putting on today? What am I modeling for my children today? What am I modeling in my home today? What am I leading by example? Am I raising a difference maker? Am I raising somebody who's going to have faith in the Lord and trust in him at all times? Here's the second question. Is my wardrobe really the kind of wardrobe that I want my children to wear? Is what I'm wearing the same jacket I want to give my kids? If not, take off the jacket you got and put on a different jacket. Is the faith that I'm modeling to my kids the same faith I want them to have? Then no, take off that jacket of doubt, of depression, and say, you know what? I'm going to put on a new jacket of hope and faith and joy because I want my children to walk in that. Leads us to the second absolute, which is this. She marked Moses with her faith. Not only did she model it, but she marked Moses with her faith. Look what it says here in verse 23 and 24 of Hebrews 11. The first two words, by faith, Moses' parents. See, they, by faith, they modeled it. By faith, they put him in the basket. By faith, they hid him away. And look what it says about Moses now. By faith, Moses, when he had grown old, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. See, it's no coincidence here that the parents, the mom, was a mom of faith. Then the next verse, it lists two. Her son was a man of faith. You see, I believe if the mom had not been a person of faith, that we probably would not be reasoning about Moses. That if mom had modeled faith, that we would not have been reading about Moses here in the Hall of Fame of Faith. But because mom and dad, they acted in faith, in verse 24, their son, Moses, when it was time for him to be tested, he also acted in faith. And I wonder today, what are we marking our kids with? And I wonder, those first 5 years, as she's developing Moses, as she's getting him ready to leave and go to the palace, do you believe today, as she was in her last day, and her last week with him, that she was talking to Moses? Now, Moses, now when you get there, remember, make your bed every morning. Remember, please, Moses, remember, I always say thank you. Moses, remember, please, show your manners. Do you think she was saying that as her last words as she's walking out the door, knowing she was releasing her son to be with Pharaoh's daughter? No, I'm sure she was saying, remember, Moses, it's only because God's grace that you're here. It's by the faith of the Lord. It's by the hands of the Lord. We believe that God would spare your life, and you've been spared because God's hand's been upon your life. We put you in the hands of the Lord a long time ago, and it's by faith that your dad and I, that we believe that God's going to use you in a great way. Don't ever forget that we have faith and that God is our source. Don't ever turn your back upon God, knowing that he is the source of our strength. He's the source of our people. He's the one who's led us out of captivity. And I can imagine that she's pouring in thoughts of faith and saying, Moses, don't forget that it's God that's the most important thing in our life. It's the faith that we have in our God. Don't turn your back. Today, I wonder what instructions are we giving our kids that are really making a world difference? What instructions are we making that are really going to make a difference in eternity in their life? What instructions, what values, what things are we marking them with that are going to make them difference makers in their generation? She marked Moses. See, when Moses left, he had on physical clothes, but he also had a different robe on. I imagine when Moses left to go to the palace that not only did he walk away with his own clothes, but his mom had given him a jacket she had been modeling. His mom had given him a shirt that she had been modeling. His mom had given him some shoes to walk in that she was modeling. It was the shoes of faith. It was a jacket of faith. That no matter, Moses, know that our faith is in the Lord. She marked him. Because you see, the greatest thing that I will ever do is not to build. It's not to build churches. It's not to build a mega church. I love doing those things for the Lord, and I believe that God has blessed us greatly here at Destiny Church in a short time, and that we're still going to continue to see hundreds of people and even reach thousands of people as God continues to unfold the vision and the plan he has for our life. But you realize that would not be the greatest thing I ever do in my life. The greatest thing that I will ever accomplish in my life will be me marking my children as children of faith. That me raising my children, them knowing their dad had faith. Their dad and their mom had faith. That we trusted in the Lord with all of our heart. That we did not lean upon our own understanding. I don't care if you make $10 million a week. If you're not marking your children with faith, we're failing them as Christians. We're failing them what God has called us to do. We've got to be modeling faith. We're missing the boat. Otherwise, one day we'll be sitting on the side of our mansion on the side of the Nile River, looking out, saying, we missed it, didn't we, Dad? Yeah, we missed it. There's some things we should have been modeling to our kids. Well, Pastor, it's too late for me. No, it's not. Are you still alive? Are you still here on this earth? Do you still have children that you're influencing? Do you have grandchildren you're influencing? Do you have people you have in contact with that you're influencing? You can still model faith. Model faith. It's never too late. What are you marking them with? What jacket are you giving them to wear? You see, I believe today that here, as we see, look what it says here. It says, in a pivotal time that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's a big statement. Moses was next in line to become Pharaoh in Egypt, the most powerful nation in the land. And when I say the land, I mean the world. This was the most powerful nation in the world. If you were Pharaoh, you controlled the world. Moses was next in line to be the ruler over the world. And yet, he refused that namesake because of his faith of knowing that he really was a Hebrew. And that his people were being punished or being suffered, held captive against the will of the Father. And he knew something had to be done. And so he refused to be linked with that sin. He refused to be linked with that tragedy. He said, no, I am a Hebrew, born of Hebrew parents. There's a different faith in me. I don't bow to the idols of my fathers. I don't bow to the idols of the Pharaohs of this world. I don't bow to the idols of the palace. I bow and answer to an almighty God. I have a faith my mom put into me as a young child. I can still remember the songs she would sing to me. I can still remember the scriptures she would teach me. I can still remember the stories she taught me. I still remember that jacket of faith that she gave me, and I'm proud to wear it today. No, I cannot be called son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's not me. We want our children to walk away. I'm sure that when he said, you know what, I'm not going to be the son of this king, but I'm going to serve and be the son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But his mom, her buttons were just like, I mean, can you imagine her saying, you know what, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. I'm glad I put God's faith in action. I'm glad that I put faith in action in my life. Can you imagine the pressure that he was under? Can you imagine his fraternity brothers saying to him in college, Moses, man, you got it made. Pharaoh's getting old. You're next in line. Now listen, Moses. Now, my degree is in economics. And when you get to the palace, don't remember. Remember me. Can I have a position in your cabinet? You got it made. Yeah, Moses. You got it. Yeah. You're the man. It's easy, Moses. Man. Can you imagine the peer pressure he was under? From his friends and his family. Can you imagine Pharaoh? Pharaoh looking at Moses and Moses saying, listen, I don't want to take your name no longer. I'm rebuking my namesake that you've given me and I'm going back to my natural name. I'm going to stay with my Hebrew heritage. And I can imagine Pharaoh looking at Moses and that James Earl voice with the Darth Vader mask on something, you know, saying, Moses, I am your father. You know, I can imagine him looking and talking to Moses, saying, Moses, do you not see that I will make you the most richest man in the world? Do you not see this is the most powerful throne in all the world? Moses, you should have been eaten with crocodiles, but I saved you. I spared your life to raise you up to be called my own grandson. Can you imagine the pressure that was on him? And Moses saying, you know what? But my mom, she taught me about faith. My mom taught me that the gods you serve are not the gods that I serve. My mom taught me about getting my priorities straight. My mom taught me about never forsaking the faith in my life. And I got to say no to that. I appreciate everything you've done for me, but I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Hebrew. I imagine the mom was like, wow, I didn't realize God that I would model that so much in his life. But now she's seeing it evident in her life. What are you modeling to your kids? Mothers, are you serious about making your children? Are you serious about marking your children? Are you serious about marking your children with faith and about things? I pray that spiritually when God looks at your family, he'll go, there's a child marked. There's a child marked. There's a child marked. There's some kids in that family that are marked. There's some grandkids in that family that are marked because of the mark of their grandma and their grandpa, of their aunt, their uncle, of their mom, their dad, brother, sister. There's somebody marking them in that family. heard a story once about some theologians who were arguing over which translation was the best. And one said, "Hey, I believe today that it's the King James Version. The King James is closest to the original manuscripts that we have. This version's got to be the best." Other one spoke up and said, "No, it's the New American Standard. It's the best. It's the most Americanized. We can understand it." And another one said, No. "It's the New Living Translation. It's got more, you know, language we can understand." And these guys are arguing over which translation is the best, which one really is what God wants. And so they turn to the professor in the room and said, "Professor, which one's the best? Answer this argument for us." And he paused. His name was Dr. Jones. And Dr. Jones paused, and he hadn't said a word this whole time, and he thought about it. And he stopped, and he looked at them. He said, "I'll tell you which translation is the best. I do have an answer." He said, this was his answer: "The scriptures that my mom used, because my mom translated them into my life. That's the best translation. The scriptures that my mom used, because my mom translated them into my life." Mothers, that's your calling today. Dads, that's your calling today. Translate, model those scriptures into your kids' lives. Let me close with this last thing here today. The third absolute we see: she had a maturing faith. She had a maturing faith. We see that she had a maturing faith. How do we know that she matured in her faith? Because we see it in her son's life. Look what Moses said in Deuteronomy 6 and 5. This is Moses speaking. He said, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be in your hearts, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Where did he learn that it's important for us to pass these values on to our children? His mom, his dad, they modeled to him this very thing. And so now that he is an adult and he's teaching people, he said, "Listen, it's important that we model these things and that we talk about them when we're walking daily. And when we go to bed at night, that we talk about the things of the Lord. And when we get up in the morning, there's a song of praise on our lips and we're talking about the goodness of God." It's a lifestyle of faith that should be in a Christian home where we are modeling faith to our children. It's a lifestyle. Some of you say, "Pastor Gene, it's easy for you. I'm glad my parents are here today. And, you know, I was fortunate to be raised in a Christian home. It wasn't a perfect home. We had a lot of things that, you know, it's like every home that has. There's a lot of things that we had to work through as a family. But I had a solid Christian home. But, you know, my parents never once, my dad was been in the ministry all my life. He's been a pastor, an associate pastor. But, you know, one thing they never did, they never came to me and said, "Gene, you've got to be a pastor." They never come and said, "You're going to be a pastor when you grow up. You're going to do this when you grow up." My parents never came to me and said, "Gene, you got to read your Bible every day." Never did that. Never said, "Listen, open your mouth, cram that Bible down your throat." They never did that to me. Now, they did maybe be in church. I was in church every time the doors were open. We were here. Very, very few times we missed. They taught me in solid that we're going to be faithful to the Word of God. We're going to be faithful to the house of God. Now, you're going to have to choose for yourself if you're going to serve the Lord. But we're going to, as a family, and you're in my home, we're going to be in church. And we came together as a family to church every week, whether we had to or didn't have to. I mean, I could do things at church that, you know, I knew how many ceiling tiles were on the ceiling. I knew every stain in the carpet. I probably caused a few of them. I knew every little thing. We were in church, but my parents never forced it on me. They, you know, I want to say they never forced me to pray, but they did do that a few times, but that's another story. I remember one time, I was talking about modeling, I told my dad one time, you know, we prayed together as a family off and on, but it seemed like every time we had a guest over, that's when Dad wanted to pray as a family. And so I told my dad that one time. I said, "Don't come and only pray when we have guests here, Dad." How many of that didn't go very well? That wasn't the only time we ever prayed, but, you know, we would pray together, and he wanted to model that. He was trying to model that to kind of friends coming in who were not from Christian homes. And so he wanted to model that with our family, that we could show that we pray as a family. See, what are you modeling today? They never forced it down my throat, but they modeled a faith to me. And so I'm here today because my parents modeled faith to me. Did they encourage you to go to Bible college? No, they didn't want me to go to Bible college, to be honest with you. When I told them I was coming to Joplin to go to Bible college, they're like, what? What are you doing? You need to stay home with your mama. Isn't there a college here close? Of course, you know, it took them a little while. They warmed up to the idea. They knew that God was calling me, and I went to college, Bible college, and they accepted it. Of course, now they're like, oh, yes, bless God. We knew all along. We're raising you, son, that God was going to. I'm like, where was you, man? He was 18. You knew. You didn't want your son to leave home. See, as parents, we're not always perfect. But one thing my parents did do, they modeled faith. And today I ask you, what are you modeling? What are you modeling? What faith are you modeling to your children that are going to cause them to raise up and be a difference maker in this world? What faith? See, to be a mom today, you've got to be a lot of different things. You've got to be a chauffeur. You've got to be a CEO. You could be a doctor, a therapist. You got to be a sports analyst. You got to be a tutor. You got to be a good wife. There's a lot of things going on in your life. It's busy, busy, busy. But still yet, moms, you've got to be a model of faith to your children. We still have got to model faith to our children. What are you modeling today? In closing today, as the musicians are coming, let me ask you this question. Are you maturing in your faith? Moses' mom was maturing in her faith. We see it in Scripture. She was even listed in the Hall of Fame. We see it through Moses' words that she taught him. She matured in her faith. One final question I want to ask you today, mothers. Let me ask you this. Are you doing these three M's? Are you modeling? Are you marking? And are you maturing? Pastor, how do I mature? Spending time daily with God and spending time with other women who are helping make you better. Better Christians, better moms, better wives. Are you developing those relationships, moms, so you're staying refreshed? Well, Pastor, I don't have anybody I'm close to. Well, you need to get somebody you're close to. You need to find another mom who's a Christian who can encourage you, that you can share some things with and you can develop those relationships with, keeping yourself refreshed. You've got to spend time daily in God's Word. Let Him refresh you. You never know that baby in your lap. You never know that kid that you're driving to school tomorrow. You never know that son or daughter you're tucking into bed. You never know that child that you're reading a story to tomorrow. Could be another baby Moses. Could be another Billy Graham. Could be a person who's going to make a difference in the history of time. They're going to be raised up to make a difference in a generation. You never know. What are you marking them with? Are you raising up difference makers? Let's bow our heads. First of all, before we close today, I don't like to close the service without giving you a chance. If you're here today, say, Pastor James, you're talking, I realize that not only do I need to model my faith, but I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my life and asked Him to forgive me my sins. And today I want to ask Him to forgive me my sins. Or maybe you're here today and you say, I used to serve Jesus, but I've turned my back on Him. I haven't lived for Him in a long time. And today, I want to renew my relationship with Jesus. Ask Him to begin to rule my life again and be Lord of my life. If you're here today, that's the most important thing you could ever do in your life. I want to give you a chance to make that decision. I will not embarrass you in any way. I want to give you a chance today. If you can just raise your hands, that's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus Christ today. But you can just raise your hand where I can see it and make sure. Anybody here today at all? Keep it raised up. Second question I have for you today is this. Say, Pastor, as you're talking, I realize today that I need to restructure my wardrobe to model some better things for my children. I need to learn to be a better mom, a better grandmother, a better aunt, a better dad, a better father. Some things in my life that I need to model better. And as you're speaking today, I realize that God's called me to put on a new wardrobe that I can mark and mature my kids with the things that are really important in this world. That's a faith in Jesus Christ. Can you raise your hand if God's speaking to you today about changing some things, putting on a new wardrobe? Thank you, thank you. Yeah, several hands. Anybody else today? Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Several hands going up today. That's great. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. I'm going to say a closing prayer and a special prayer over all of our moms today. How many of you join me today? Let me close out in prayer today. I believe God is going to give you incredible strength, moms. To be moms of faith, a model to your children. Faith to your children. It's going to give you incredible strength, wisdom, that even though you've made some mistakes, that He's going to allow you to go home and start putting on a new jacket in the morning. Putting on a new set of shoes that you can walk for your children and say, you know what? Mom's not perfect. Dad's not perfect. We blow it a lot of times. Sometimes we blow it more than we get it right. But we want you to know the most important thing we could ever teach you is to have faith in Jesus Christ. That as long as you have faith in Him, He's going to direct you. He's going to use you. That's the most important thing I can leave to you as my children, as a legacy. It's a faith, a model to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over every mom here this morning, especially every parent, but especially every mom this morning, God. I pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ today, we speak a special anointing in our life. Lord, they can model faith, Lord, to their children. They can model, Lord, faith to their children. A faith in You. A relationship with You. A relationship with You, Lord, that is quick to forgive. Easy to love. And has faith totally upon You, Lord. That their eyes are fixed upon You. That their relationship with You is so great that they model it to their children. Their children will never forget the faith that their parents have. Their children will never forget the faith that their mom had, their dad had. Father, I pray for everyone here who raised their hands and said they want to go home and begin to put on a different coat. I pray that today is a new day in their life, that through the power of Your Holy Spirit today, that Father, You empower them to take off the old garment and put on a new garment of praise, a new garment, God, of faith, modeling to their children, modeling to the grandchildren, the things of Christ, leaving a legacy of faith to our children. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you today. Moms, listen to me. All moms that are here, we have some special roses for you. Before you leave today, by the doors, there's some tables there. Stop and grab you a rose. Just a little appreciation today for saying we love you, moms. God bless you. Shake a hand before you leave. Hug a neck. Treat your mom good today, guys. All right? Amen.